thankful this morning that I'm acquainted with a God that is acquainted with me, and that I have found him to be a very present help in time of need, but he also shares our joys with us too. I believe the Lord takes pleasure in seeing us enjoy life, enjoy the blessings that he gives to us. Appreciate the words of that song that says, look to God, we don't need to be afraid. Folks, God doesn't want us to live life being afraid. We heard a very sobering Sunday school this morning about the end of time and how that there's going to come a time when time will be no more. And so much of what we believe that matters in life isn't going to matter anymore. And we're going to face a God that is going to judge us. And whatever his judgment is going to be the judgment that stands for eternity. There'll be no more opportunity to make any more changes. Eternity will go on forever and ever. I want to get it right. I want to be found in peace. And it's a sobering, sobering thought to think about the multitudes of people that will face God, and he will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. And cast those out into outer darkness forever. That is sobering to me. But the good news of the gospel today is that we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to go through life paralyzed with fear that the Lord is going to say to us, depart from me, I never knew you. Because he gave us an opportunity to look to him and to find redemption and salvation in Jesus Christ. And it isn't withheld from anyone that is willing to come and say, Lord, I will serve you. Lord, I'll follow you. Yes, we'll fall down at times. We'll stub our toe. We'll make mistakes. We'll err. We'll come short. But if we are willing to stretch forth our hands, as Peter did when he began to sink and took his eyes off Jesus, if we will be willing to reach up and say, Lord, have mercy on me, and humble ourselves, he is faithful and just to forgive us of those places where we have failed. And we can stay at peace with Jesus Christ so that when he comes back, we can hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And I'm thankful today that all of us can have a testimony in our lives of, even so, come, Lord Jesus. The Lord is faithful this morning in his word to give us words of life. Now, they're not all easy. Truth is not always easy to apply to your life. Truth is not always convenient to adopt into your life and to follow it. But truth brings us to life, not death. And so the Lord, in his mercy, some of the promises that he gives to us, they're promises that uplift us and encourage us. There are other things that help tell us, you need to make a left turn here. You need to make a right turn. You need to keep pushing forward when you feel like backing up. And that's what this parable that we've been reading, we started last Sunday, the parable of the sower. It is the Lord's faithfulness to give us these types of parables so that we don't find out and surprise when we get to the judgment and the Lord says, you are the one that the seed fell by the wayside. And we go, well, what is the wayside? Well, I didn't know that. Well, depart from me. Or you had a stony heart. Oh, Lord, what was a stony heart? Well, it's a heart that didn't receive what I had for the long term. You were turned away by tribulation. Depart from me. No, The Lord in his mercy, because he cares about us, because he wants to get us home safely, he gives us these parables so that all honest souls, whosoever will read this and say, oh, Lord, thank you. Lord, there's a part in my life I think that might apply to me where it's talking about the wayside. Lord, I think I have some stony ground in my life. Thank you, Lord, for showing me that. Lord, help me to get to the place that I can be a heart that you can sow seed that will receive it to bear fruit. That is the purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's turn to the 13th chapter of Matthew and look a little bit further into this parable. Parable's not very long. Some of you weren't here last Sunday, so we're going to read it again. Just a few verses, 13 and 1 of Matthew. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, and they listened with attention to Jesus. Not only did he speak to them, but he was speaking that the words of truth would also come into our hearing today. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. A sower of truth. And when he sowed, some of the seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, it said they withered away, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. I'd like to focus this morning on verses 5 and 6. Verses 5 and 6 deal with stony ground. It said that some of the seed that were sowed fell upon stony places where they didn't have much earth. There wasn't a lot of good soil to receive the seed. There was a surface. There was ground. He called it, ground, or there was a place for the seed to fall, but it didn't have much earth. And it sprung up quickly, but it said it didn't have any root. There was no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, it said that they withered away. Have you ever seen people that hear the word of the Lord and they're excited about it and they receive it and it just seems like that they have got it for the long term? Maybe there are people that come to church and they're on fire for the Lord, and they're here and they're interested, and they're digging into the word, and it's got a hold of their hearts and their minds. And But then one day you show up and it's, well, where's so-and-so? I remember when I was a teenager, camp meeting season, and somebody had gotten saved, and I remember watching them at camp meeting, and it just seemed like they were on fire for the Lord. In fact, it seemed like I'd been trying to be saved for a number of years. I wanted to live right. Wanted to serve the Lord, but this person came in, hadn't been saved, living out in the world, doing their own thing, and they got saved, and I mean, it just seemed like they had it. And it made me feel like, what do you have? You must not have what it is out there available to have. And I watched this person, and boy, it just seemed like they hit spiritual heights that I hadn't even come close to. But the next year came around. He's like, where's so-and-so? Where are they at? They're not here. Oh, well, they're, you know, they're off. They turned away. They're doing their own thing. Not really sure where they are. Well, verses 20 and 21 began to describe this situation. The Lord gave us some understanding of His parable, and He said in verse 20, "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon," or soon, shortly, "with joy received it." They heard it. They liked what they heard. They were joyful about it. Seemed like it was the answer to what they needed in life. And they received it. "Yet hath he not root," no commitment, absence of commitment in himself, "but dureth for a while," received it for a while, lived it for a while, "but when tribulation," when persecution, when hard places arose because of adopting the word of truth into their lives, by and by, it says, "he is offended." On fire as long as you're on an emotional high. When everybody around you is living this way and there's rejoicing and there's other people that you can draw strength from, and maybe when you're at Monarch, when it seems like you're maybe at a little away from the world, a little bit place of almost paradise where it seems like there's a wall, you know. But there comes a day when you have to leave Monarch. You have to leave camp meeting. It's time to go back home. It's time to go back to school. It's time to go back to work. It's time to face life and reality of life. There's people that as long as all is going well, and emotions are running high, no real tribulation, they're ready to press on. But then, when the fire comes, when tribulation comes, when the hard times comes, no commitment. No root base. Not because they couldn't have it. They didn't allow space for it. They didn't want it bad enough. They didn't work for it. They didn't put in for it. They were offended to the point of falling away. This says that by and by, it says that they were offended. Hardships that they're not willing to face. You ever been there? Tempted? You know, while we're on this subject, it's related, short detour. Used the word offenses, people turning away. Why is it that sometimes we allow the offenses of other people, the failures of other people, the wrong that is committed by other people to turn us away from our relationship with God? Folks, let's not do that. I remember talking to a man at work one day, and he got a little sheepish grin on his face. He said, I used to go to church. He said, but you know, I don't go anymore because, he said, there were people there that just weren't living like they should be living. And I just don't go anymore. Folks, we're not living primarily for other people. We are living to serve other people as God would have us to. But our spiritual relationship, God wants us to serve Him. Look up. Live for Jesus. Live for God. Don't turn away your relationship with God because of other people that aren't living like they're supposed to and may be professing Jesus Christ. Somebody else told me that just a short time ago. They said, I used to go over there, but he said there were people that were sitting right kind of in front of me in the pews up there, and he says, I know the way they live, so I don't. Look, I understand if the teaching is wrong and it's not of truth and the leadership is corrupt and the the word of the Lord is being brought forth in a corrupt manner, not consistent with truth. I understand it's probably not a place where you can be fed, but don't use a reason that there's other people that aren't living for the Lord like they should as reason for you to turn away from the Lord. You're hurting yourself. That's like me saying, I don't like you anymore, Brother Bobby, and I don't want to have anything more to do with you. And Brother Bobby says, well, why not? What happened? Well, I was going down the road the other day and I passed somebody and he didn't do me right. He just didn't do me right. And in fact, he went, and I understood that he went to that church over there where you went. And so, Bobby, I don't like you anymore. What do I have to do with that? What does Bobby have to do with that? And yet, sometimes people can live as if God is the one that's to blame. God's not to blame. Folks, our relationship is with God. The enemy would like to get our eyes on people and become discouraged because of the failures of other people. Our relationship with God should not be determined by the fruit that other people are bearing in their lives. The Lord wants us to have a relationship with Him that is not shallow, that goes beyond the surface, where we can find these reasons to just fall away. Stony ground. That's the subject this morning. Have you ever found a place to camp? And maybe we'll say at the outset, figuratively or literally, a place to set up camp, a place that looks good. You find a place and you think, you know what, the view's good. This is exactly what I've been looking for in life. There's protection. There's a source of water. There's a source of food. The view's good. It's peaceful. This looks like what I need in life. And so you're happy about it. Glad you found it. With joy, you receive this. Looks like a gift for you in life, and you're going to go after it. So you go and you get your stakes out and you get your hammer, you lay it out and you begin driving stakes. This is where you're going to set up camp. But your happiness soon gets cut short when it's like, the stake's not going anywhere. And you look at it, well, that's not good. But before you turn away, you reposition the stake just a little bit. Maybe I can reposition just a little bit. And you hit it again, stony ground. You go to the other place and you hit it and you just, stones. You're hitting rock. And you look at it and you just give up. Just give up. You pick up your stuff and you leave. And you turn away from it because of an absence of commitment to finding a way to getting the stakes in the ground. This is the place that's good. It's a place of peace. It's what you needed in life. It's good for you. It was provided for you. And yet, because you face a little bit of a hard place, to get your stakes and you have your whole life ahead of you, that is going to be influenced by this place in life that's good. But you hit a hard spot. And so you turn away from that location. Folks, you're not only turning away from the stony ground or the little bit of hardship. Let's say it that way, the hardship that you faced. You're turning away from all that that place had to offer. All of the good that was there for us. Commitment to life responsibilities left unattended. You know, we can be tempted to do that. We all have responsibilities in life. God puts in our place, puts in our path. It's your responsibility. And yet, it looks like a hard responsibility. Tribulation is involved with it. And so we turn from it. Leave it unattended. Hurts can come in sometimes. We allow them to have oversized places in our lives and in our hearts and in our minds. And we allow them to come in between our relationship with God. And we turn away from the place that God would have us experience something good, but we have no commitment to it. Sometimes addictions come, sinful addictions that we want to live right. We want to serve the Lord. With joy we received it, but this thing. Some people are addicted to having their own way. Yes, there are addictions of things we take into our bodies. Some things that we look at with our eyes. Places that we want to go, we just can't let go of. That the Lord says, you need to let go of that. It's not right. It's hindering your relationship with me. But you know, we can also be addicted. We want to have the last word. We gotta have the last word in this matter. We want to have our own way. We want to do it our way. We don't want to give in. We're addicted to being able to draw to ourselves those things that only feel good and satisfy and gratify. And so when hard places come and tribulation comes and the heat is applied as a result of adopting truth into our lives, then we're tempted to turn away and not ask God to help establish us in the place that He would have us be. There are people whose lives become identified by turning away from the difficult. You know that? You ever see people, they get real excited about something? I mean, they are like all in. And you get back with them a week or two later, it's like, how's this thing going over here? Oh, well, and then they've turned away. It's not even something in their lives. You'd have thought they were going to give their whole life to it. Now it's something else. And then it's something else and something else. And sometimes people never get very far in life because when they start trying to get far in something, they run across difficulty, so they pivot and take a turn. Folks, let's learn by the grace of God in life. Let's endure hardship. Let's learn how to endure some difficult places in life. Because if we can't, then when it comes to the truth and the light, the gospel of Christ that is preached to us, or that we read in the Word, or His Spirit comes and says, this is the way, walk ye in it. If we're not very careful, as we begin to adopt that into our life, we'll face some hardship that's associated with the truth. Because there is. Look, folks, there's hardship associated with any way that you want to live. That is the deceitfulness of the enemy to try to tell us, pull up camp. This is too hard. There's a better place somewhere else. You don't have to worry about the stones. You're right. You got to worry about the snakes and the vipers and the things that you don't have any control of. You give yourself over to spirits that are greater than we are, and you not have the Spirit of God. It's deceitful of the enemy to cause us to try to do that. Folks, today, when we face hard places or tribulation or heat comes as a result of doing what the Word of the Lord commands, or the Spirit says, this is the way for you, walk in it. Oh, let's give ourselves to it. Let's not be turned away. Let's not try to move to something else. Let's not try to, I'll try to have the Word of the Lord and apply it to my life, but do it my own way, where I don't have to do it just exactly like the Word of the Lord. We're going to miss it. We're going to miss the peace, the beauty, the water, the life. We're not going to be able to have a testimony of, even so, come Lord Jesus. Because we're going to remember, wait, Wait, the Lord wanted me to set up camp over there. The Lord, He wanted me to establish my life over there, and I moved, but it's too late now. I don't want to be in that place, and we don't have to be in that place. Let's be all in this morning. The psalmist said in the 27th chapter of Psalms, he said, "One thing have I desired. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after." I'm going to be committed to it. I'm going to be resolved to face and deal with, by the grace of God, whatever comes that might get in between me and my relationship with God. Be willing this morning to dig past emotions that are not pleasant. Be willing to dig past emotions that feel good. Because emotions will pass, but truth goes on forever. The reality of life doesn't go away as long as we are in life. Emotions ebb and flow. The Lord is calling us to find a place in Him where we are established, where we are purposeful, where we are determined, that when hard places come as a result of following Jesus Christ, that He can say, "That is one of my dependable servants. And they are going to press by the grace of God right behind me all the way to the end." May the Lord help us seek spiritual vision that translates into values and beliefs that stand the test of time. Spiritual vision, purpose, that translates into personal values and beliefs that anchor us in something that when the storm comes, because the storm will come, and then the storm passes, we will still be set and secure and stable and going on. That's what I want to do. I want to go on. Continue on in my word, Jesus said. Continue on. Lord, what should we do about this? Lord, this tribulation, this heat, this hardship. Lord, what do we do? Continue on. That's what you do. Continue on. Don't be turned away. We live in a time where we have become accustomed to so many options. We are accustomed to ease in life. We are accustomed to getting answers quickly. We are at a place where you don't have to work very, very hard to get knowledge. Just look it up and you find it. Back in the day, a research project meant that you were going to spend hours going to the library and trying to find books, the card catalog. There's folks here that don't even know what a card catalog is. This intimidating look of wooden structure with all kinds of drawers with little cards with black and white typed letters on them and numbers that makes your eyes cross. And you're supposed to use that and get to a final product of understanding about all this subject. Yeah, you had to give yourself to it. You had to persevere. You had to want to. You had to dig a little bit. If you wanted a final product, you were going to have to be committed to it. But now, you can just say, "Write me a paper about this." Hit print, and there it is. And if we're not careful, we can begin to devalue what God wants us to value. Our spiritual life is not generated by artificial intelligence. Our relationship with God is only going to come by a heartfelt desire that is driven by a commitment and a desire. I want it worse than anything else in life. Let's be on guard to being drawn into a place that when we face hardship, our immediate response is to try to pivot and go somewhere else, especially when we are pivoting away from the Word of God and truth, because our soul is at stake. This is not a buffet line where you get to go through, say, well, I like that. That tastes good. I'll have some of that. Yeah, don't care for that. Yep, want some of that. Truth is not a buffet line where I get to go through and pick and choose what's going to apply to me just based on what I like in life. Truth comes as a package. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. May God help us be willing to accept and welcome and embrace the difficult parts of truth just as much as we embrace the promises of truth that comfort us and help make us feel better and lift us up when we feel down. Because it is those difficult elements of truth that if we'll accept, and if we'll ask God for grace to help us, and if we can anchor down on that rock, then when the real tough times come, we'll be able to stand. When the storm passes, we'll still be standing, and we will have life. This morning, the hope of the gospel is that Jesus Christ came to help us with the stony places in our life. If you are of the number that would be categorized as stony ground, the good news of the gospel this morning is that Jesus Christ came to bring us messages of hope, to say this is what stony ground looks like, but you don't have to stay there. And he encourages us in the word of the Lord to be steadfast and unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Jesus came to take away our stony heart, to give us a heart of flesh. He came to be our God, where we could be his people, and where he could hold our hands and deliver us through the trials and the temptations that we find in life. Paul said it this way in Galatians, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season, when the time is right, you'll reap if you faint not. Stones do not have to define you this morning, folks. Hardships do not have to derail your spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. The enemy would like to make the stones seem deeper and wider and harder and more impenetrable than they really are. The Lord is able to get us to the place where we need to be if we will allow him, if we'll be committed, if we'll show him, Lord, I want it worse than anything else. Be committed to facing the trouble spots of life. Trouble shouldn't be unexpected. Don't find yourself in a place where you're surprised by trouble and hardship. Peter told us in 1 Peter, he said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that's to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, for as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, if you're facing a fiery trial because of adopting truth in your life, rejoice. For as much as you're partakers of Christ's suffering, because when his glory is revealed, you'll be able to have exceeding joy in your own life. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Blessed is the man that faces hardship and tribulation that comes as a result of adopting truth in your life. Blessed is that man that endures the temptation to turn and go somewhere else. For he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love Him. This morning, the Lord is calling for the willing. There's just going to be a few. But every single one of us that are here today can be numbered with the few. Don't be turned away from the fire. Jesus walks through fire unharmed. Don't be afraid of the deep waters. Jesus walks on water, and He's promised to walk with us if we're willing. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Amen.